kind of like what was just happening around here a few minutes ago. They were worshiping, they were shouting, they were praising God, they were celebrating the power of the Almighty God. And verse 9 says, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he had put his hand on the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. I'll be honest with you. When I read this portion of scripture, it really bothered me. I felt really frustrated by it. I didn't really understand it. And I felt like David here in the text. And it really just didn't feel right. Why did God kill him? And I was kind of displeased with God like David. And I've always questioned why Uzzah had to die. I mean, they're worshiping. The musicians are there. They're singing and they're shouting. He was only trying to do the right thing. But God smote him. With the help of God today, I want to preach a message entitled Mishandling Mercy. Let's pray together. Jesus. Let your spirit fill this place again, oh God. Let a spirit of understanding reach down, oh God. Let revelation come today. Let your power and your presence speak to us, oh God. Move upon us in this place today, oh God. We want to be right, oh God. We want to live right. We want to be pleasing. We want to live with you for eternity. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Mishandling mercy. In my frustration and in my lack of understanding, I began to look into this a little bit deeper. And I realized that we've got to go back to the beginning of the matter to really understand God's actions. According to Exodus 25 and Numbers 7, we find that the ark should have never been put upon a cart, whether it was old or new. It was supposed to be carried upon the shoulders of the priest, and specifically by the Levites. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and verses 7 and 8, it says, and the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for their priests and their diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? And tell us wherewith we shall send it. See, they had captured the ark, and they had taken it for themselves. And while it was in their possession, God began to send plagues to them, and God began to torment them. And they realized it's because we have stolen and taken possession of this ark that God is doing this to us. So let's get it out of here. Let's send it back so God will stop sending these plagues. And so they call to their priests, and they call to their diviners, and they say, what should we do? And this is where we see it. In verse 7, it says, now therefore, make a new cart and take 2 milk kine. That just means 2 oxen or 2 cows that have just given birth, in which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye have returned him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away, that it may go. When you get to the triumphant return of this ark of God, to the children of Israel in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we run into this situation of Uzzah being smitten by God for touching the ark. And the reason why there is a problem is because the people of God were handling religious things the way the world thought that it should be done. The reason why there was a problem and the answer to my frustration, and when I had gone to God with this question of why did you do what you did to Uzzah? Why was it such a big deal? He was really just trying to do the right thing. It's because they were following religious ordinances according to the way that the world thought it should be done and not according to the word of God. They were fulfilling spiritual duties according to the world's concepts and the world's ideas. You find it in 1 Samuel 6 and 7. The Philistines say, make a new cart. Then you fast forward a little bit in 1 Chronicles 13. David and all of Israel go up to retrieve this ark. And they say, let's put it on a new cart. Where did they get this idea from? Where did they get this concept from? It was the Philistines' idea to put the ark on the cart. God said, when you handle my mercy, you put it on the shoulders of the priest. I've got a plan and I've got a specific order for how I want it to be handled. Don't look at the world and get your ideas on salvation. Don't look at the world to get the concepts of holiness and righteousness. God said, I never told you to put it on a cart. And so here I am frustrated. God, why'd you have to kill him? And God simply just said to me, if he would have handled it the way I told him to, everything would have been all right. This would have never happened in the first place. Normally, I'd set a little bit longer runway, but we got a picnic coming, so I got to get right to it. So I'm just going to get right to it. There's some things in your life, and there's some things in my life that I'm experiencing, and I'm frustrated with God, and God's answer to us is simple. If you would have walked the way I told you to walk, if you would have lived the way I instructed you to live, if you would have put some things in order in your life according to my word, you would have never wound up in this situation in the first place. The problem began when God's people looked to the world for their cues. They looked to the world for spiritual direction. The children of Israel thought to themselves, this is how everybody else is doing it, so why don't we just do it this way? You need to be careful, saints of God. You need to be careful, saints of God. Be careful with you, where you get your cues for what holiness is and what righteousness is. Be careful where you're getting your direction from. When we don't handle godly things the way that he intends for us to, it will always lead to destruction. Always. When we don't handle godly things the way that he intends, it's not going to turn out right. And then we turn to God and want to know what's the big deal. God, what's the idea? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? Don't be frustrated with God. Don't be angry at God because you're following after your own way or you're following after the way of the world. We can't follow after the world. We must follow after the word. I said we can't follow after the world, but we must follow after the word of God. See, this is one of the problems that happens when we look to the world for our cues and we compare ourselves to worldly influences and ideas opposed to the word of God. See, as the world drifts further and further away from God and the word, but we compare ourselves to the world, we think, well, the world has gotten so bad, but at least I'm not as bad as the world, so I'm okay. As long as I'm just a step ahead of the world, as long as I'm just one rung higher on the ladder of righteousness than the world is, then I'm doing okay. But because we are comparing ourselves to the world and we haven't stopped to look at the Word, we don't realize just how far from the Word of God that we have actually drifted ourselves. And we think, well, I'm not as bad as the world is, but I'm nowhere near what the Word is. We can't look to the world for their direction when it comes to spiritual matters. It's why Pastor preaches to us the way that he does. He's looking out for our soul. He's a watchman that's been placed on the wall for us, telling us, be careful. Don't live that way. Don't act that way. Don't do things that way, because it's going to lead to destruction. But you're saying, well, everybody else is doing it. We're looking around and we're saying, well, so-and-so is living that way, and this church is doing it, and that organization is doing it, and these people and my friends and my family, and it's going to mess you up. I said, it is going to mess you up. We need to get into the Word of God and let it lead us and guide us and direct us. So what does this mean for us today? Well, I have 7 minutes and 30 seconds to tell you. No, really, I've been 13 minutes and 46 seconds. I've got to look into what was inside of that Ark of the Covenant to see how this principle applies to me. We have to inspect the contents to understand what it represents. Inside of the Ark was Aaron's rod that budded. There was the golden pot of manna and the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod represents the rebellion of the people toward godly anointed leadership. The golden pot of manna is the people's rejection of God's provision. And the Ten Commandments represent man's disobedience over God-given laws. But God says, you take the sum total of all of man's rebellion, all of man's mistakes, all of the problems that they have had in following me, and you put it inside of the ark, and then you cover it with the mercy seat. You take all the mistakes, you take all of the past, you take all of the problems, and you cover it in mercy. He instructed the priest to go in every year and put blood on the mercy seat. So when he looked down at the people, he did not see their mistakes. He doesn't see their past. He doesn't see the problems. He doesn't see the yesterdays. He only sees the blood that was shed for them. The blood that can make atonement for their sin. He doesn't see my past, but he sees the blood. My mistakes are covered in mercy. One of the reasons why we were shouting today, one of the reasons why we were running today, but one of the reasons that we lifted our hands in worship is because if you knew what he has brought me from, if you knew what was in my heart, if you knew what was in my mind, if you knew what I used to be, and if you could only know what I would have been if it wasn't for me. Jesus. All of those sins were covered in mercy. The system of worship in the tabernacle was only a copy. It was a foreshadowing of the real thing, what was going to come, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God makes very specific plans, and he spells them out very, very specific to Moses. He said, stick to the plan, stick to the plan, stick to the plan. He tells them over and over again, don't change it, don't waver from it. Not one tiny bit. He says, and if I tell you to carry the ark, then carry the ark. Here we have mercy. Here we have the atonement of sins. And God says, I want you to carry it. You put it on your shoulders and you carry it. but because they mishandled mercy. Well, God's a God of love. God's a God of mercy. Yes, He is. God's a God of grace. You better believe He is. But He said, I've got a plan. And you need to stick to the plan. You need to stick within the boundaries of my word, or else you negate the power of mercy. You can't do however you want to do and be covered by mercy. I know this isn't a popular message our day, but you can't live how you want to live and be covered by mercy. You can't act how you want to act and be covered by mercy. Mercy doesn't work that way. He said, I've got a specific plan for how mercy is going to work, and you need to stick to the plan, or else it's going to cost you your life. This is where the Old Testament and the New Testament intersect. This is where we see how the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now we have an understanding of this. We're seeing it more clearly now, and according to the New Testament and God's new plan, He no longer puts His word in His spirit in a gold-covered box, but we find that now you are the vessel that His spirit abides in. You are the vessel that He is placing His word into. 1 Corinthians 3 says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You are that vessel. Ezekiel 36 and 27 says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, but you've got to keep my statutes. You've got to do according to my word. You've got to stick to the plan. No longer will He meet with us from above the mercy seat. But now He says, I'm going to be in you. I'm not just going to be with you. You are the temple. I am the temple. I am that place that God now resides. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3 says, the word of God is written not with pen and ink, but with the spirit of the living God. It is no longer carved on tables of stone, but on human hearts. He said, my spirit and my word is in you. And I've covered you with mercy. My spirit and my word abide in you. And you're covered in mercy. The ark was filled with reminders of men's failures, but they were covered with mercy. God instructed the priest to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And it covered those mistakes that covered that sin. And now God has placed His spirit in you. God has put His word inside of you. And He's covered with mercy. He died on the cross and He shed His blood for the remission of our sins. And when we go down into the waters of baptism, we are cleansed of our sins. When we take on His name in baptism and we repent of our sins, and He fills us with His spirit. He said, I've covered you with mercy. I don't see your sins. Just like when I looked at that ark, I could see mercy. I could see the blood. When He looks at you and when He looks at me, He can only see the blood. He can only see mercy. But you can't mishandle mercy. You can't mishandle mercy. Uzzah paid the price for mishandling mercy. He was trying to do the right thing. Possibly that ark would have fallen over, crashed on the ground. You telling me it was wrong for him to touch it? According to God, God's saying, you know, there's no excuses for why you can just live and deviate from my plan for your life. He's a God of mercy. But that mercy has made a way for you to escape your sin. And so just because he's requiring you to stay within the realms of that plan does not no longer make him a God of mercy. It just makes him a God with a plan. It's saying if you stick to the plan, you'll receive, you'll be covered by mercy. But if you mishandle mercy, it's going to cost you your life. The world says we can live however we want because of mercy. But God says there's a specific prerequisite to obtaining mercy. When God gave the plan for the ark and for the mercy seat, he told them, you cover it with gold. I've come to tell you today that how you represent mercy matters. I said, how you represent mercy matters. God's covered you with mercy, and he said, I want you to be a representation of mercy, and this is what mercy looks like. And I have no right to change that. And when I do, I'm no longer covered by the promise of mercy. God said, when you carry it, you put poles, the rings on the side of that box, and you have the priest bear it. I've come to tell you today that how you uphold mercy matters. It does make a difference how you live. It does make a difference how you represent yourself. It does make a difference how you represent the Word of God. Because mercy matters, and we can't afford to mishandle mercy. Mercy doesn't give us an allowance to sin. In fact, mercy comes with a very specific, strict set of rules. The world has painted mercy with this very broad brush. You get into the Word of God and you find that mercy has some very specific prerequisites. The blood was poured out for us that we might obtain mercy. And he said, I want you to follow the plan. I died for your sins. I shed my blood for you. He died for our sins so that we could die to our sins. Nowhere in the Bible will you find it said that because he shed his blood for you, that you're covered. Now you can just do whatever you want. But no, if you're going to be covered by mercy, you've got to stick to the plan. You need to know the Word of God. Maybe Uzzah didn't know any better. God said, I have a plan. You got to stick to the plan. You better get into the Word of God and study that Word and know if you're covered by mercy or not. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The musicians come and we stand together. I've come to tell you that mercy has made a way for us to live. I've come to tell somebody today that mercy has made a way for you to escape the penalty of your sin. Mercy has made a way for you to not have to pay the price that death puts on your life, or that sin puts on your life, and that price is death. He's a God of mercy, and he's a God of love. But if we mishandle mercy, I said, if we mishandle mercy, we're going to die in our trespasses and sin. The only thing worse than missing out on mercy is missing out on mercy when I thought that I was covered. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is when you read of Samson, when he goes out and it says, and he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. He thought he was good. He thought he was covered. He thought he had it all together. And I don't want to stand before God on that day of judgment and find out that my life isn't right, that my spirit isn't right, that I'm not covered by mercy because I was following a plan of the world and not following the plan of his word. I didn't come today to judge anybody. I didn't come today to point a finger at anybody's face and say, you're not right, and you're not right, and you're not living right. But the word of God will do that for us. It'll show us areas in our life and instruct us where we need to get back on the path of righteousness, where we need to get back to that place of holiness, that place of communion with God. I urge you today, as they begin to sing, as we open up this altar, that you find a place with God and say, God, if my life isn't right with you, then help me to align myself to your word. God, if I'm living for you and I'm shouting and I'm dancing and I'm praising and I'm showing up on Sunday and I come midweek when I can and I go to the life group and I'm trying to live right, I'm trying to do right. God, I need you to show me. God, I want to be right with you. God, I want to live for you. God, I want your spirit to lead me and guide me. God, fill me with your presence today. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, then mercy has made a way for you to receive this spirit, this overcoming, power-giving, sin-delivering spirit of truth. It's available for you today. You can be covered by mercy today. Come on, somebody reach out to God right now. God, I want to be right with you, Jesus. God, I want my life to be right with you. God, I want to walk with you, Jesus. God, I want to live for you. Help me follow you, Jesus.
For a song,
help me follow your word.
Is much you have required.
Help me follow your word.
You
in the name of
deeper within, through the way things appear.